You're listening to the IHOP KC Family Connect podcast. In these 30-minute family conversations, fueled by the Word of God, the beauty of Jesus, and His glorious return, we will explore the narratives the Lord is weaving in the story of the global body of Christ as we digest what the Lord is saying to the church today.
Hello and welcome. My name is David Slyker. I'm the president of the International House of Prayer University. I'm here, as usual, with Dana Candler, who's one of our prayer directors, along with her husband, Matt, who we love. But now this week is a really sweet week for me. Instead of Isaac, we get Morgan.
Super fun.
We get Morgan Bennett.
So fun.
Morgan, who would be, in my opinion, one of our premier prophetic singers in our prayer room, one of our key prophetic voices, singers. I mean, just what you bring in our prayer room is such a gift. Mm-hmm. And so, but it's not just that. You are not just a mom and not just a prophetic singer. You are a leader. You are a shepherd in our midst. And so we're just so thankful. This is so fun that you're here.
Thank you.
And of course, the greatest treat of all, I get to do this podcast with my wife.
Yay. Thanks, honey.
Tracy Slyker, who is the dean of students here at the university. And so you are in charge of our pastoral care for our students, our student government activities. There's just graduations, and there's a lot that your team is managing, and you really bring just such your heart to the school in a way that makes it so much better. And so I love leading the school with you.
I love getting to run with you too.
And so now we get to do this podcast together.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Well, this one is, in my opinion, this is a significant one. I've loved so many of our podcast episodes. I loved them all. But this one to me is significant in that we find ourselves in another moment, similar to last year, where we are beginning our 40-day fast, and we've just come to expect now, which is kind of cool if you think about it. We start our 40-day fast. Lou Engel fires us up. In the spring of 2020, it's March 1st. We are so ready to engage with faith because of the Send, Arrowhead Stadium, the promises of God. I mean, it feels like the promises of God are about to come crashing in our prayer room that very moment. So here we are. And then, boom, the whole world changes overnight, a global pandemic, and our whole fast, 40-day fast, how the prayer room goes from that point forward. All of it changes because of the pandemic. And that became a sweet moment for our family to go deep and get quiet and be before the Lord. I mean, it was a terrible moment for the world. And yet, at the same time, Romans 8, the Lord turned it for good for the intercessors to be able to be before the Lord in an unusual way. And then it's a year later, and we are doing round two. Lou is called the Yeshua fast for God's purposes for Israel. We're feeling stirred by the Lord related to passages that he's emphasizing, the Holy Spirit is emphasizing. We go into our 40-day fast going, let's go deep in these passages and get clear on what the Holy Spirit is saying. Holy Spirit, what are you saying? And so yes to what Lou is calling, yes to Israel and the Send. But also, God, what are you saying to the church right now? And so we have these seven passages we want to go through. We start with Revelation 3, and we never stop. There's an unusual grace and activity of the Spirit every week, five times a week. The conversation unfolds and doesn't stop, that we are to address in the kindness of the Lord towards us. Our lukewarm condition, we're to address our barrenness of heart, our spiritual boredom and lethargy. And I mean, what an amazing season. So we come into now, Lou and Andy Bird and many others call a third 40-day fast. And we are going, okay, at this point, we almost expect, Lord, you're going to say something. And Mike, in one of our meetings, says, oh, I'm really stirred for this fast in an unusual way. When it comes to the promises of God over Kansas City, when it comes to what's unfolding with the Truman property, the purposes of God for Israel, a global intercession movement for Israel. I mean, Mike is seeing something unfold that's stirring him in an unusual way, and he's going, I'm ready for this fast. Then, of course, right before the fast, same thing as 2 years ago. The world changes overnight. Russia invades Ukraine is the first time in 80 years. We have friends over there, ministries that are dear to us, Ukrainian ministries that that we know and love. And this is a personal, tragic, terrible moment. And so we're gathering as leaders earlier this week to go, okay, what is the Lord saying? We're expecting, you know, this increase of crisis, forerunner message, urgency of the hour, power of the Holy Spirit, Truman property, promises. I mean, who knows what the Lord's going to talk about? And in our meeting, the Holy Spirit, like he did last year, takes the whole thing in an unexpected direction. And we are, as a team, we are under conviction in a way we didn't expect. And so it really did start with your dream. Tracy Slyker, you had a dream a number of weeks ago and you shared it and the conversation went from there. So if you would, share with us the dream that you had.
Yeah. It's kind of gross.
I'm going to do this.
Okay, thanks. The dream was kind of gross. But I think that knowing there's conviction in there is helpful in sharing it. In my dream, I just remember chewing. I had things like in my mouth. Like I was, you know, maybe like after you eat a handful of nuts and you just kind of feel something's in my teeth still. But I was chewing it, just chewing it. And so finally it caught my attention enough that I reach in my mouth and I pull out of my mouth, like out of my throat, a big like white worm, like 5-6 inches long. It's a fat, like your finger kind of, it's not a little worm. And it comes out of my mouth. And as I take it out, I know that it's coming out of my throat and there's a lot of them in there. And I just kind of stare at it. And I think to myself, this is really disgusting. This is horrible. I almost am so grossed out. I don't have time to deal with this. I don't have time to think about it or figure out why is this in me or what is going on and how to get it out. I just kind of throw it down and want to kind of dissociate from it, like deny that it just happened. But I know as I reflect back, oh, this is what I've been chewing on. This is what's been in my mouth subconsciously, just pieces of these worms and the like evidence that what is in me, in my throat. So that's my dream.
Yeah, I think the thing that like alerted us to it being corporate and more than just like a personal dream for Tracy was we had a dream come in the next night that the woman in the dream said, her dream said that Tracy Slyker has had a dream that's for the Lord, that is from the Lord for the corporate body. Mm-hmm. And so that was like, oh my gosh, Tracy did just the night before have this dream. And so that's what alerted us. And the thing that's striking me and that I'm kind of remembering from last year's fast, you know, last year, Tracy, you also had a dream that was the Revelation 3 conversation before the Lord. And then Isaac's phrase from the Lord was, there's going to be an unveiling in the unveiling. And so I'm kind of like, wow, this is like round two, Lord, like you are wanting to do a purifying of our hearts.
So let me see if I've got it. So last year, here we are in Revelation 3, just wanting to take some time on it. But then the Lord gives Tracy a dream. And in the dream, he graphically shows her both her true condition mm-hmm. at the time.
Right.
And that she is unaware of it, yes. Which is Revelation 3.
Right.
And also that no one was telling me about it. It was kind of like the condition of there was maybe others could have seen. You know, it's like evident. Like this is all over me and no one's speaking about it. No one knows.
And so that dream, when she shares it publicly, mm-hmm. the whole community is under, many in our community are under conviction. I mean, many go. If Tracy Slyker is lukewarm, then I definitely am.
Right.
And it caused us in such a helpful way to not make the lukewarm spirit somebody else's thing.
Yeah.
Like I'm at IHOP, I'm doing night and day prayer. Man, I'm so sad for those lukewarm people out there.
Right.
The moment God speaks that to Tracy, all of us have to self-examine. And then the other thing you mentioned, at the end of the 40-day fast, yes. Isaac, we've just spent 40 days on just about, I mean, with a few days off, almost 40 straight days on Revelation 3 as a community. Mm-hmm. And at the end of it, Isaac has a dream, and the Lord says to him in the dream, there's an unveiling in the unveiling. In other words, I've showed you something this vast, right, but there's more to show you.
Right.
And so that's an interesting insight, because what you're saying, if I'm hearing you right, is that this dream isn't just part, you know, isn't just a new thing to be convicted about, but it's actually part two of part one. It is in some ways the unveiling of the unveiling.
Yeah.
The Lord has more to say, and it's about our speech.
Yeah, I think he's just asking us to go slow. And he's saying, I'm not through with the conversation. You know, Revelation 3 is about coming and sitting and dining. And it's going, hey, let's talk. Like, what is it that you're wanting to say to me? It's kind of a, you know, this is how I'm experiencing your conversation. And it's like, you know, you have those with your spouse, and those aren't always fun. But like, I just feel like the grace, though, to respond and to be like, okay, Lord, like, say whatever you want to. Like, I'm at that place to be like, my heart is open. Like, I'm ready for you to say it.
And so let's get clear together.
Yeah.
If Tracy has the dream a few weeks ago, and then the next night somebody in our community has a dream in which the Lord says to her specifically, Tracy Slyker just had a significant dream for the community. It is a corporate dream, which you needed because you thought the Lord was just talking to you.
I did.
And so now you share the dream, but what does it mean? What's the Lord trying to say to us?
I'll share my immediate response, just because I wonder sometimes if even the dream is for me, and then also just I'll share kind of how it felt to have the dream. I immediately just had a sense of conviction related to my mouth and what was in me that was kind of in my mouth that I was sort of tolerating subconsciously, even chewing on it. You know, we use the term chewing on to almost kind of talk about meditating or pondering. And so it's like it's just in me. And I felt a conviction about like sneaky, tolerated speech. Like, I wouldn't say that I'm like this overtly grumbly, divisive, gossipy person. I walk with a measure of, you know, self-control or like restraint in that area and want to walk in obedience to the Lord. But I had this dream and I knew it was like that next layer down. It's like the place of speech that goes kind of undetected. And for me, my best way of describing it was like the clever, nuanced, kind of sophisticated complaining and grumbling and even maybe divisive, like tricky speech that, you know, maybe in private processing, even with just one or two other people, or honestly, even to myself, the chewing, I think, kind of even represented like that kind of internal speech that I just started to chew on. Maybe it doesn't even come out of my mouth, but it's in me and it's right there. You know, that negative self-talk, the disqualifying myself, believing accusations from the enemy about myself, or believing just even thoughts that fear likes to interject into my internal discourse. And so both ways, like just that speech that comes out of me, but the tricky, like, before I was even much into telling anyone else about the dream, I was sensing conviction with me the next day and the next day, like feeling like, there you go, you just did it. Oh, there, it's almost like it's coming, it's just happening, it's a habit, it's something I've come to tolerate. Like, that's not, you don't need to say that. You don't need to add that extra sauce. You don't need to add that extra little something. Just be quiet or say less or be a blessing with what you're saying, and don't even say that little negative thing that perhaps before the dream I wouldn't even necessarily realized was negative. And then even in my own thoughts, times that I was like kind of just talking myself out of, you know, just disqualifying myself or speaking internally to myself in partnership, I think, with the accuser. So some conviction has started to kind of make its way into the deeper sort of nuanced, sophisticated places of now what I realize are also negative speech.
I mean, when I hear your dream, it's the stuff that we don't realize is a problem. It's just kind of awkward, but you don't think it's a problem until you actually reach in to examine it.
Yeah.
That's the key. To me, that's the key point of your dream. You reached in and examined it. And when you examined it, you saw it for what it was.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't see it clearly until you did that.
Yeah. And even in walking this out, like, I have that feeling now as the Holy Spirit's working on me in this. I have that feeling even of like, this is a lot. This is really, is this really in me? I almost, without the fast and without this conversation, I would almost feel like I might have had that dream and not taken the time to deal with it. Because like in my dream, I was like, this is a lot. And there's more inside of me. This is just one that came out of a whole bunch of filth that's inside of my throat. And it's interesting. I think there's verses I've looked up, worms and snakes in the Bible. Oh, when I didn't show this part. When I took the worm out too, and I was looking at it, it had like this mouth that kind of came at me. Like Ooh. it wasn't just a passive little worm. It was aggressive. Like it had almost like a Venus flytrap kind of, reminded me of something from Star Wars. Like kind of came at
me. It's not neutral. It's poisonous.
Yeah, it was like.
And it's aggressive.
Yeah. And so I think, interestingly, in the dream, I was kind of overwhelmed at how to deal with it. And there's been times, even before the fast, where I was like, I can barely, this is overwhelming. I don't know that this will actually change. Like, will the Lord really be able to get this out of me? But I'm so grateful for the corporate conversation in it, because I think by taking time together and entering into a place of prayer and also fasting, I've been a little bit more encouraged that he's really making progress.
And I think that's so key is that, I mean, I remember in that meeting the other day, Mike's immediate response was, if it's true of Tracy, it's true of us, which is exactly like last year when it was all of a sudden, if Tracy is up there saying, am I lukewarm? Then everybody has to ask that question. And so once again, we find ourselves in this invitation of the Lord to reach in and that searching and standing before him. I think of that, the meditations of our heart, the words of our mouth, that it would be pleasing to the Lord. Yeah. And he's going, okay, I'm taking you to the next level in this conversation. Now I want to talk about words. And we did talk about words last year. Again, like we talked a lot about how even the speaking, and not, it's not just the keeping of words, but our role in the speaking. And I think he's inviting us back into that conversation, but at another level, with conviction and fear of the Lord. He just is pressing us into this, surprisingly, again, meaning it's a surprise to us. We didn't expect to talk about that.
Right. I was just thinking, like, in light of what's coming, you know, first of all, like Mike's book, Placebo, that word that he was given back in 83 about, I will send you back, you know, for the Laodicean church in the Laodicean hour. And how many times has the Lord highlighted that over the years? But this time is the time that the Spirit has breathed on it. And he's like, stay here, you know, stay here. This is like, I feel like that we are in that shift, like as a whole, for the body of Christ. And so we're moving in that direction. And the Lord's going, I want my people to have clean lips because of the message that they're supposed to say. Mm-hmm. And because of what's coming, we have to be so clean before the Lord. And the lips of a priestly people, or people that stand before the Lord, have to have the clean speech.
Yeah, I love that. I think that is a powerful point. We are, more than anything else, if Bible school president goes away tomorrow, I'm not all that sad, though I love our students. But all of us, none of us would make our title our main dream in life. We're intercessors. Right. I mean, in terms of how we see ourselves before the Lord in our primary function, we are intercessors. Whether it's singing our intercession or praying our intercession, that's who we are. And to me, your dream is the Lord taking us seriously. Mm-hmm. He's not going, bad you. He's going, no, I actually take you seriously. You take it seriously, so I'll take you seriously. And because the Lord, your point, Dana, was so good too. It's the Lord could have stopped at last year. Mm-hmm. We're addressing accusation. And accusation is a problem. Mm-hmm. We do accuse one another. And the Lord goes, good, I love that you're addressing accusation, what Isaac called last year demonic intercession, that just saying the devil's narrative over somebody's life. I mean, those are powerful ideas. But the Lord goes, but I do take you seriously. Therefore, I'd like to, your point, I'd like to go a little deeper in that. Mm-hmm. Not only is it the obvious areas of accusation, I love your dream. It's the It's the dignified, or you kept saying sophisticated. Such a good word. It's the sophisticated areas in which it sounds right.
Yeah.
But it's got a cancer at its core. You used a word the other day in our meeting that really struck me. It wasn't just the complaining, and it wasn't just there was complaining, there was
grumbling,
but you said our assessments of one another. Mm-hmm. We make assessments. We take the liberty to give airtime to conclusions about one another that might not be an accusation. It might not be like you are bad, but we make assessments of one another and we categorize one another in ways that I don't know if they align with the Lord's heart.
Even you say that, it makes me realize it's not maybe just not even assessing one another, but assessing what's going on. You know, negative conversations, like I just feel challenged. Like, why would my report with my limited perspective and my limited understanding be worth airtime? I like that phrase. Like, why? Like, oh, that I would have the fear of the Lord and the information of the word and the information that I know in my soul, my spirit, when I stand before the throne. Why is that reality? And when I'm doing intercession and crying out to him different than when I'm in conversation with my friends, like that I would bring that holy perspective and that storyline and even my confidence and the role that I know I have in the place of intercession. Just, I feel a challenge to like bring that perspective into the conversation and the way that I report and assess and evaluate the circumstances I find myself in or for my friends. Like, what more is there for us? Like, what power could we walk in by bringing those truths into this realm and talking like I would speak to, like I'm so careful in prayer to be truth-filled and hope-filled and faith-filled and biblical and positive and know who I'm speaking to. But then how I almost disconnect, like in my dream, I disconnect from it when I get back into the conversation, the day-to-day with the kids and the friends and the getting stuff done. And, you know, and even in ministry, like chugging away, accomplishing things, like I just feel so challenged. And in a positive sense, like how much more is my assessment and my thoughts and my prayers to come out of me? Like, what grace would he release, you know, in this realm?
Yeah.
It makes you think of Psalm 51 and David's crying out for the cleansing and the washing of the word and for the Lord to cleanse him from his sins. And he goes, God, cleanse me that I may be clean. Wash me that I may be white as snow. And it's so that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. And I think it's about the intercessor having purity of speech so that when God actually judges, that he would be found just and that he would be found true in his judgments.
I think one of the keys is in growing in this is beholding Jesus. And the other day I shared this dream that I had had recently, just a short dream, and I'll just share the point of it. The dream was highlighting words and how we can have those times where we feel almost gridlocked because we don't know how to bring the right words that might get misinterpreted and might get twisted. And I was in one of those moments where I didn't know what words to say. The atmosphere was thick with potential accusation. And in that moment, I started to sing, "Your name is like honey on my lips." And as I sang that old chorus, I pictured Jesus and the mouth of Jesus, which speaks biblically of his words.
So good.
And as I thought about the mouth of Jesus and the words that come out, you know, grace is poured upon his lips, the mouth of Jesus and his words, I started weeping because no one has that mouth. Only Jesus speaks like that. But yet, we are invited to speak like he speaks. We're invited into that very same beautiful speech and to have the oil upon our lips, to have the oil of gladness, to have the words that speak life and truth. And so the meditation, you know, your dream highlights meditation. Well, here's a key meditation. Let's meditate on the mouth of Jesus so that we can become like him in his speech.
What I love, it's, you know, we come into this fast with a renewed enthusiasm around Luke 4:18. We come in wanting to see the increase of the power of the Holy Spirit, the increase of the activity of the Spirit on our families and healing and miracles. We want to see more of the Holy Spirit's power in our midst. That's how we came in. And I feel like the Lord is answering us directly. I mean, Paul says it very clearly. He says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. How do you grieve the Holy Spirit? By your speech, by how you talk about one another. It's not just generic, you know, general sinning. It's very specific. When you grieve the Spirit, it is because you are speaking in a certain manner. That is James 3, releasing death, not life. And so what we're asking in our prayers and in with our faith, we're going, Lord, we want to release life, which equals the power of the Spirit, whether it's on the heart or whether it's on someone's body that's sick. We want to release life with our words. The Lord goes, good. Do it all the time. Don't just do it in those moments where you feel anointed in ministry. Do it in your side conversations when you're just hanging out. Like, you'll be very encouraged. You really will. In that, as these guys know, I have coffee regularly with their husbands. And so we connect in the mornings and we talk. We talk about life and we're guys, and it's not all the time is our speech amazing. And so what I'm loving is we talk about this on Monday, and every time we've connected for coffee in the morning since, it's been like everybody's checking themselves. Everybody's checked, everybody, but checked in a beautiful way, wanting to reach for something. It's not the check of someone who feels condemned. It's the check of someone who feels the sweetness of the conviction and the joy of God's jealousy over our calling and over, I mean, really, it's the other conversation on mourning and what could be. And so I'm loving the Spirit and the conversations and the way in which we're looking to not just restrain death that we release in our conversation. And the Lord's highlighting to you sophisticated, glossed over, ignored areas of death in our speech. It's death. That's why you go every time you tell your dream, you go, it's gross.
But it's the worm. It's the worm of death.
It's death.
It's death.
Yeah. It is. It's what we're and even more gross, your dream is busting us that in our conversations we're meditating on things that produce death. And the Lord's going, no, you're my friends, and you are intercessors, and you are commissioned to release life. When you pray privately, when you pray publicly, when you prophesy over one another, when you minister, and when you're inside conversations, you actually, if you release life there, I'll release life everywhere you go. And I love not just the vision of restraining that which is negative, but the Lord's invitation to release something even greater if we'll partner with grace right now. And so I'm very encouraged by your dream and very encouraged by this conversation. I love it.
I had a couple people ask me, so what do I do? Like, almost that sense of like when you're in just a habit, like in the dream, it's just there and you're just chewing and chewing. And I wanted just to share, like, so far, the conviction that's coming to me is almost always like after I've stumbled, you know, like you just did, it's coming after. But then if I just let the thought, oh, you did it again, come and go, I don't get to capitalize on the opportunity to work on or invite the Lord into breaking that habit for me. I feel like the key for me has been like, as soon as I realize, like the Holy Spirit is, one of his jobs is to bring conviction of sin. So Holy Spirit, I ask you to bring conviction. And then when the conviction comes, yay, sometimes right after I do it. So I feel like I got to enter into repentance in that moment, first with a conversation with the Lord. And then if there's something I can go repair or speak, you know, just say, oh, I shouldn't have said that. Or I like go find the person maybe that I've spoken to. But the repentance, I feel like it's helping break the cycle. So then eventually he's helping catch it before it comes out. Like I'm looking for those moments where, you know, the habit gets broken and before it's just coming out accidentally or inadvertently, the Spirit of conviction grabs me and helps me make a change. And like you said, though, that is focusing on the don't do it. But I also feel so challenged to lean in it ask for power to the what to release then to go that extra.
But I think what you just shared is really helpful. I think we're left after this conversation with three really practical things that we can do. It's not hard, actually. This feels like a mountain because our speech, our tongue feels so untamed. Mm-hmm. We've never actually given tons of time and attention and energy to tame our tongue. I think there's three things we can do. I think the person's going, how do I respond? Number one is what Dana said. Number one, that to me is always going to be my starting point when anyone asks for help. Before you get to your self-help kind of strategy to tame your own tongue, and before you become the hero of your own story, you did it, you conquered speech.
So good, yeah.
Before that, set your eyes on the man with the beautiful mouth. I love that dream. If we can, that's where we feed our spirit.
Right.
And that's where our vision flows. Now we have a model and a template for what speech can be when we hear him talk.
Yes.
And so that has to be our starting point. That's our first cry. Lord, show me. I want to hear. I want to connect with the beauty of your speech. That's point one. Mm-hmm. But point two, I have prayed that prayer many times over the years. That's one I've gone back to again and again because I recognize in these conversations and this kind of conviction connects to an area that I'm not equipped to address. I don't know I'm doing it. And so the way I've said it before the Lord is, Lord, I want that sweet conviction. That's what I've asked for. Mm-hmm. I want that sweet conviction where I don't know I'm blind. I don't know that I'm doing it. But afterwards, I want that moment where my heart is pierced. Mm-hmm. You get my attention. You go there, that one. That was one. And when I know, just like you said, I go, oh, Lord, right there, help me. I don't want to do that again. And so I invite, and again, I call it sweet conviction for a reason. So many young people, they look to avoid conviction. They want to beat the system of conviction by getting it right before they sin. And that's just completely unrealistic. So I go, no, Lord, right here, right now, just give me that sweet conviction. Point it out to me as I go. And without condemnation, I go, oh, right there. Thank you. That's so helpful that you showed me that. Lord, sorry, help me. Right there, help me when I do that. Sometimes I'll even go, Lord, why do I do that? And, you know, whatever. Point three, the other thing I've done over the years, I learned this from Mike, is before I'm going to speak publicly, almost every time, I go, Lord, put a guard on my tongue. Put a boundary. Set a boundary of grace around me. Help me say what's helpful and help me not, I don't want this to be about daveslyker.com. I don't want to make this about me. Put a guard on my tongue. I want to point people to you. I want to be a friend of the bridegroom right now. And so help me to major on speech that exalts you and connects people's hearts to you and not to me. And so, and which again, actually I find where the Lord will check me in practical terms when I'm preaching is the area of humor, actually. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, dial down the humor because that's connecting people to how clever you are and dial up who I am. And so those are real practical things.
Can I interject something really quick?
Always. It doesn't even have to be real quick.
Well, I'm just thinking of the
guard. I saw your face.
The guarding, yes. The guarding and also the conviction. The Lord really does. I think he gives us this moment right before the words come out. He's faithful. And there's this moment. It's a half a second. It's not a big moment. It's a moment where before words come, we are given the invitation by the Holy Spirit to keep our words, to not speak. You know, I'm speaking specifically of some of those clever, sophisticated words that are not like Jesus because Jesus's words were without sin. Mm-hmm. And so we don't even recognize sin when it's coming out of our mouth. We don't recognize all the ways that we are fighting for ourselves and propping up ourselves and our mm-hmm. reputation and all the things so that we, good. We're very clever. We're really good at it, actually. We deceive ourselves. But Jesus' words are clean and they're without sin. And so there's this moment and to recognize it and respond to it. And I don't always respond to it. Mm-hmm. I mean, because the pull, the luring, deceiving, sinful pull to self and to fight for me is big. But that's the denial. It's deny it, crucify it. That is the thing that has to die so that life can come out. And so just to kind of put the spotlight on, the Holy Spirit's kind. He really does speak. And if we'll pay attention, he'll give us that moment. It's an invitation because he won't violate our free will. He's going, I really want you to want to do this. But then we keep our words and we enter into the life-giving words that come from his mouth.
Beautiful. I love this conversation. I'm so thankful for it. Morgan, you have to be on here more.
Yeah.
You were amazing. I'm so thankful. Tracy, Morgan, thank you for joining Dana and I. This was awesome. Like, this was so fun and easy. I told you it would go fast. It really did. This was awesome. I'm so glad that you guys came today. This was such a necessary conversation. We are we're praying for ourselves, actually, in this kind of moment. We're not actually praying for you. We really are praying for ourselves. And so we invite you to join us. This is a sweet moment if we can access and partner with the grace available to keep pressing. Again, without that fear of, oh, I'm going to come short, but with a genuine confidence. Lord, you're highlighting this because you're going to help us. We don't have to figure out all the areas that we're sinning right now. We just need to focus on the one you're highlighting. And we need to, in that moment, have the confidence that you love us and want to help us and just lean in and go, okay, if you're highlighting it, I'm going to get delivered. If you've got a lamp on it, I'm going to get free. I'm going to be different. We can actually be in these moments of conviction, we can be excited and not just dreading, like, well, here's another moment where we're going to beat ourselves up. No, it's the opposite. Here's another moment where we're going to get delivered. Mm-hmm. Here's another moment where we're going to get set free. And so I encourage you, as you're engaging with us in this fast, or if you're tracking for the first time, or wherever you're at, I want to invite you to lay hold of what's available in the grace of God in this season and see what happens. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the IHOP KC Family Connect podcast. Consider subscribing if you haven't, and follow us on social media for other content from IHOP KC.